This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Going to talk NBA basketball. Last night here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz were mighty. They topped the Golden State Warriors, and they did it in dominating fashion, earning their 22nd victory of the season, topping the Warriors 129-99. Joining us right now to talk about the Jazz and maybe some of the other topics, including trade rumors in the NBA, we have Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. It's much appreciated.
Absolutely. We'll start by talking about the Jazz. They earned their 22nd win of the season last night, still 6 games back of that 500 mark. But more importantly, only 3.5 back of the Denver Nuggets. And if you take it one step further, they're 5 games back of the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, the Jazz have played better basketball as of late. It's important to note, during this 3-game winning streak, they beat the Pistons, they beat the Raptors, they beat the Warriors. It's not a bad stretch. Even more importantly, at least from my perspective, is the Jazz have won they won their last 2 road games. And one of the things that has hampered this team all year long, they couldn't win close games on the road. Up until they won these last 2 road games, they were 5-19 away from Vivint. Now that the Jazz seem to maybe be finding their stride a little bit, those are 2 big wins. I'm not going to overrate those wins, but at the same time, I'm going to call it like it is. When you're this close to the playoff race, picking up wins against 2 teams like Toronto and Golden State, who could potentially meet up in the NBA Finals, it goes a long way.
Oh, without a doubt. It definitely does. And, you know, the Jazz are, back to being fully healthy, so that's always a good thing. But at the same time, they're still a team that's inconsistent. They're going to win some games that they shouldn't win. They're going to lose some games that they shouldn't. So they're one of those teams that they're a fringe playoff team. They're kind of in the mix, but being 3.5 out west, we don't know what's going to happen with Denver and the Pelicans. You know, Denver gets Millsap back soon. The Pelicans, we don't know what's going to happen. But the Jazz have a shot. However, they have looked better as of late. They really have. We'll see if they can be consistent, though. That's going to be the thing. And being consistent is not 1 or 2 weeks. Can they put together a strong month where they have a winning record and it's not 500, it's not close? If they can put together a 9-4 record, if they can do something like that, that can go a long way in terms of changing the season around.
No question about it. In fact, with the trade deadline approaching, the Jazz have been mentioned in several rumors. One for a while was that Mirotić would look pretty good in a Jazz uniform, and then we hear that the Jazz may be shopping Rodney Hood. I know that Derek Favors hasn't signed an extension yet. I don't know that he does sign an extension in Utah, which means that the Jazz have basically 2 to 3 weeks to work out a deal. Derek Favors, to me, has been a very valuable trade chip for quite some time. He's floated around in rumors after rumors after rumors. I don't know that you can build a team around Derek Favors and be successful, but I do think that Derek Favors could be a nice third option on a team that's contending, and I think that's probably where the Jazz may want to go. Although with all these, with all the injuries and the trades working its way around here over the last couple of weeks, a playoff spot's not out of the question. What do the Jazz do to improve this roster?
Well, I think they should move on from Derek Favors, and whenever you have a great shot blocker like Gobert, you don't need to have a bruising type of 4 next to him. You can go small. You can do a lot of different things to be a little bit more dynamic out there, especially since the Jazz, well, you can't tell by last night, but they do have offensive issues on most nights. So from what I would do, I would move Favors and go smaller. I would go smaller up front. Since you have Gobert, you don't need to have a big power forward. You could have a small ball 4 or a guy that can, pretend to play the 4 a little bit. That's what I would do. I would move Favors. I would probably try to get another wing type of guy. The Joe Johnson stuff really isn't working. He's a little older now. That's not the direction you want to go into. So I'd probably get a little smaller, get a little bit more athletic, and be a little bit more versatile. I know Rodney Hood's name has come up in trade talks. I would be very cautious on trading a young wing. Young wing players are very hard to come by, especially talented ones. You don't want to be the team that trades a young wing away and they figure it out 2 years later, and next thing you know, they're playing on a pretty good contract on a rival team, and that's a difference maker. You cannot trade away young wings unless you're getting an all-star back.
Though the interesting conversation with Rodney Hood is, do the Jazz want to pay him, though? And that's what it all boils down to. I mean, remember, he's going into the final year of his rookie contract, which means the qualifying offer for the Jazz in the offseason is going to be $3.4 million. I have to believe that somebody is going to pay him, and the Jazz are going to have to match that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have your limits, of course. I mean, you definitely have your limits. You're not going to pay him 4 years, $84 million. No. But he's a guy that I don't think he can demand that right now. If someone gives him that, then you got to let him go. However, I think he's a guy that's a 12 to 13. I mean, whatever Joe Ingles is getting, he should be getting.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of
yes.
like the barometer right there. If Joe Ingles is getting $13 million a year, Rodney Hood's in that range. I think that's a fair salary comparison, maybe a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough dynamic because, like you said, if you get into a bidding war this offseason and someone does pay him $65 or $70 million, you want to go that high for a guy that hasn't really shown a lot of consistency at that position, and you don't know what he's going to be. So they have some tough decisions to make, but if they are going to sell on him, they need to sell high because the last thing you want to do is give away a young wing player and they figure it out down the road. And now you've let a couple of guys go at that position that could have really helped. And Gobert is looking there like, what are you guys doing? Because the last thing you want is a in-prime top 25, top 30 player looking at the organization like, what are you guys doing? That's never a good thing.
Well, and going back to what you said about Joe Ingles, Jazz fans don't want to hear this, but I'm going to be real with you. The fact is Joe Ingles is making 13.6 this year, 12.5 next year, 11.4 the year after that, 10.3 the year after that. Fully guaranteed. He is on the contract for double-digit millions until 2021. Because of that contract, you have to be a little bit more on the cheap side with someone like Rodney Hood. That's the way I view it. And also, Joe Ingles doesn't get that contract if the Jazz weren't trying to win Gordon Hayward's heart in the offseason. That has a long-term effect. In my mind, Jazz fans love Joe Ingles. I'm not saying anything bad about Joe Ingles. I'm just saying he's not worth $13, $12, $11 million a year. He's not.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. When it comes down to it, Joe Ingles is a role player. He's a role player. He's a guy that should not be making eight figures a year. However, circumstances and good agent, and he's a good guy, and things kind of happen that way. Circumstance, timing is everything. He's in the right place, right time, and there you go. But at the same time, those are the contracts that hurt you if you're trying to develop a contending team because you can't move that deal, and he doesn't play up to the capabilities of that amount. So it's a tough situation. However, the Jazz are in a tough situation because they're going to make some tough decisions going forward. They have a good core of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. But who are they going to place around that? What are they going to do to build around that? That's the question. Whomever they bring in is not just bringing in talent. They have to consider, can that talent be re-signable in Utah? That's always a tough question because trading for a guy is never the issue. But at the same time, having a guy stay in Utah is the toughest part. Now, I know there's some talk of Mirotić from Chicago coming over. I know that's been a big there's been a lot of news on that. We'll see. He would definitely help. Because the Jazz definitely need offensive firepower, and he can shoot from the outside. But he's not a real difference maker, and I definitely wouldn't trade Rodney Hood for him.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jamison Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, let's talk about some other rumors floating around the NBA. Now that Blake Griffin is gone, I would expect the next team to make a major move to be the New Orleans Pelicans. And I say this because DeMarcus Cousins is now done for the year. He may be done in a Pelicans uniform. Like, that's a very realistic chance that we've seen him play his last game in New Orleans. The Pelicans are not in a situation where they can afford to just lose DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis at some point in time and get nothing in return. Now, I know Davis is under contract until 2021, but at the same time, if you feel that DeMarcus Cousins may be on his way out, this experiment hasn't exactly worked. Now may be the time to move Anthony Davis because I think there are several teams out there that would break the bank in order to get him. I think a team in L.A. would be very, very high on acquiring Anthony Davis. I think Boston, that's been a very popular destination for quite some time. It just seems like maybe Anthony Davis ends up in Boston. There's several teams out there that could be in play for Anthony Davis. I wouldn't be shocked if he's gone by the trade deadline. I really wouldn't.
I don't think he gets moved this year because he still has several years left on his deal. But he also left out Golden State. Golden State can make a lot of deals work. Of course, Durant and Steph aren't moving. We know that. But outside of that, they can make a lot of stuff work. They can. Like, they're in a situation where there's a lot of packages they can put together. There's a lot of stuff they can do. They have picks. They have young guys. They have guys they can move. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but they cannot be discounted in any move involving a top 10 talent like that that's still probably not entering their prime yet. So that's a scary thought. DeMarcus Cousins will be a Pelican next year. I don't see them letting him go. even with an Achilles, they don't get talent like that much. They don't get guys like that. So even with the injury, I still think they keep him. It's not the smart move, but that's kind of how things go there. And I think they're going to keep – I don't think he was going to leave because they were going to pay him the most July 1st no matter what. So I thought he was going to be there regardless. But this stuff definitely complicates things. However, if you're Anthony Davis and you have a couple years left in your deal after this one, you really have to figure out and think about what's going to happen because we know how this works. Teams usually start to think about moving a guy when they have 2 years left. They get the most out of the most back in return. So we'll see what happens. I think if the Pelicans miss the playoffs this year, then their front office really has to make a move and figure things out going forward.
It's always fun to talk about these abstract conversations about players that could be moved. So in your estimation, if it's not the likes of Anthony Davis, who's the next superstar to be moved?
Oh, that's a good question. Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. You think Leonard is moved by the deadline?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's about the deadline. I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought you said in general. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. That was a vague question. So, in general, you're saying the next superstar to change teams is Kawhi Leonard, meaning that we're going to have a pretty quiet trade deadline.
I don't think the trade deadline is going to be huge where we see an all-star or a superstar move. I don't think that will happen. I think the next star will be moved over the summer. We all expect LeBron to be on a different team in the summer, so that's not really a surprise. I think Kawhi Leonard's the guy that is moved because he's not. If he doesn't sign that extension in San Antonio, well, I've been told he's not going to sign it. He doesn't sign it. He has a year left there. They're going to move him before they lose him for nothing.
Well, and I think, again, and this is something I try to remind people all the time, we hear trade rumors constantly. I mean, we're in the world of social media, the age of social media. We hear every little rumor that pops up. The biggest trades are made without warning. Hence, Blake Griffin going to Detroit. Nobody saw that coming. 9 out of 10 times, the biggest trades are made when nobody knows about it.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. That's how this business works because you can't let a trade get out there because there's only a handful of agents that pretty much have most of the players in the league. So when the agents get wind of trade talk, everyone talks and it spreads like wildfire. So that's why, when trades usually happen, they happen quick. Blake trade happened under an hour, I think. I think there was some discussion, and boom, it happened. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if another superstar gets moved during this season. I think Kevin Love was a prime candidate to get moved before he got hurt. Now I don't think he does get moved. But going forward, I think the next time we see a star player get moved will be right around draft time.
Jameson Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Follow him on Twitter. Jameson, give us all the info where everyone can find more of your work.
ESPN 1100 in Vegas, ESPN 1480 in Nebraska, Fox Sports 1340 in Vegas and New Mexico, and also here every week, man. Always appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate you always making time for us. Hey, we are out of time. We will be back tomorrow. Thursday and Friday, we're going to focus heavily on Super Bowl 52. That's going to be the main topic tomorrow, mixed in, of course, with the local sports. I want to thank Coach Jeffs, Coach Chris Jansen, and, of course, Jameson Welsh for joining us on the show. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We are out.